Hello, and welcome to the Civic Flame Campfire Edition. For those of you who are just dropping in for your first of our Quick Bite episodes, these campfires are short conversations that give you context and discuss legal or other issues related to any breaking or contemporary political or legal news. The Civic Flame in general goes over the U.S. Constitution section by section. So if you want to deep dive into legal education, head over there. If you just want to have a quick understanding of our main topic today, bot farms, then stick around. If you were with us last week, you may have learned that my children were home from school and you heard them tinkering around in the background. Today, if you hear any craziness in the background, that would be my two cats who snuck in here before I shut the door. But we're going to go with it anyway. So let's see how this works. So what fresh hell am I bringing you this time? Well, we're going to talk about the internet, so as you can imagine, it's going to get icky. To keep this short, as I said, I'm splitting this campfire up into three different episodes. One is about bot farming, and that's what we're going to talk about today, which has a lot to do with computer programs and the way they shape what you see online. The second will be a discussion of what's called rage farming, and how these bot farms use rage-based computer algorithms or programs to shape your reaction to what you see online. And the final one is about what happens with a lot of that sweet, sweet data and a few book recommendations. I'm going to try to keep these short. So if you've got time, you can listen to it all together, but you might need to step away and rage kick a pillow or stress eat a bakery or something between episodes. Let's go. Have you ever found yourself swarmed online with a bunch of comments that sound exactly the same and seemed like they were overreacting just to get a rise out of you? Or have you seen any replies to things online that look like they're designed to provoke outrage? Do you get those ads on the side promising you more likes and followers if you just click a link and pay a few dollars? Do you ever wonder how the internet knows who you might want to be friends with and who you might not? Then you've probably interacted with a bot farm. So let's talk about some terms before we get going. Bot farms, that's B-O-T, right? As in robot. What is a bot farm? Well, it can be a few different things. So this is going to be the non-technical explanation. If you're looking to get really into the tech side, like software, IP addresses, algorithm development, machine learning, I am definitely not that kind of doctor. For that, you can head over to wired.com and search there, because they have a ton of stuff that ranges from a layperson understanding, somebody like me who doesn't have all the technical language sorted out, to the real nitty-gritty tech nerd speech like my husband. For our purposes, we're looking at two things. Bot farms that are large software applications or programs that are meant to basically do the same thing over and over online. And click farms, which are actually people who kind of function like bot farms. Why is this a political issue for this podcast? Because these have changed the game of politics, and because law seems somehow to be unable to reach any of these things. And that puts us in a really interesting place where a lot of people who run and make money off of these computer programs, and for sure the computer programs themselves, are wholly unaccountable to the law or politics or people for basically any harm they cause. For example, in the lead up to the 2016 election, it came out that Russia and other groups had been paying small groups of people around the world to drive up angry content online. These are some of our click farmers. We'll talk more about this with rage farming. But what happened was that in a handful of places like Macedonia, people were using multiple accounts to give the illusion of being real news organizations, people, or social movements. And they were working all together to like, share, follow, comment, and otherwise do what's called boosting their signal. This made it look like one person's opinion was maybe 100 or more people's opinions. But it turns out, this is also linked to bot farming issues. There were several cases that came out in 2024 where Ukrainian forces actually broke up massive bot farms that were sending out malware to spy on Ukrainians. Remember, malware is bad stuff. Mal means bad. Malware is harmful programming that is meant to infiltrate normal programs, gain access to stuff it's not supposed to have, and basically cause chaos. It will steal things like your social security number or your credit card number, and of course, money, and any state or industrial secrets that you might happen to have lying around, which if you do have those, you should secure them and don't tell me about it. But this is why it's important to never download anything online, never click on any attachment unless you know what it is, and always to reboot and start your devices regularly, and to be really careful about anything you buy online. TikTok is known for this in terms of getting people's credit card data through either stores or from small businesses paying for likes and follows, and then there being issues with the data breach. Facebook also had a problem with this a few years ago. I haven't seen what their platform is up to lately. I don't know if it's been fixed or not. But every few months, the neighbor at my old house would show up at my doorstep needing my husband to fix her computer. She swore she had a personal hacker, but it was really that she just kept downloading weird games and apps from Facebook and giving all those programs access to her data and downloading all these viruses on her phone or her home computer. There are computer science and cybersecurity folks who can tell you more about this, but take it from an Xennial who grew up with the internet. Do not trust anyone on the internet. Don't download anything and be really careful about using your credit card data online. Assume everybody on the internet is lying to you, and that'll be a nice start to keeping you safe online. Also, while you're at it, check your state laws, because more states need to do a lot better job mandating laws that protect social security numbers. I'm looking at you, Massachusetts, and a bunch of other states. But aside from all this personal stuff, there's the social, political, and mental catastrophe of bot farms. Because it turns out that with the rise of AI, you can factory scale click farming and bot farming, and you barely need any people to be involved at all. You just need a sophisticated computer program or software to do the work, and some infrastructure stuff for Sarah Connor to eventually blow up. That's a Terminator 2 reference to all you non-sci-fi geeks out there. Not an actual threat of industrial espionage, so please don't send the FBI here. But because the computers can work faster and be programmed to handle more tasks than a person can, a click farm of a few dozen people with a few hundred accounts can become a bot farm of a few people managing the technology and the building with a few million accounts. Why? Well, some online bots are actually useful. They can help catalog or index things online. They can scan for news. For instance, I have a Google alert that comes to me when new papers come out in my field so I can read them. They can help people keep track of things online that matter to them, like research, scientific development, historical cataloging, and so on. A problem is they can be malicious, hence the malware, and take people's data. They can help hide illegal activity on the dark web, especially when we deal with things like cryptocurrency. And no, I absolutely cannot explain that. And for the issues that come up in our podcast, they shape what online content looks like and what people are thinking, which is a really important point because a majority of people now say that they get their news online. You've heard the term grassroots movement. This is an idea that the movement starts from the people up, like the Occupy Wall Street movement or the civil rights movement or the women's rights movement. Well, bot farms get into something called astroturfing. AstroTurf is fake grass. As such, astroturfing is pretending something's grassroots when it's not. This is used to make a lot of money, like when the billionaire Koch brothers and a few of their billionaire friends created the Tea Party movement to convince broke Americans that their biggest problem was taxes on billionaires and not the billionaires themselves. AstroTurfing. It's a fake grassroots movement. And you also have some of these people infiltrating real grassroots movements, sort of akin to, if you look it up online, Project Chaos or Operation Chaos, where the government used to try to infiltrate leftist movements. And I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat today. I'm not just making this up. Tech billionaire Peter Thiel, who owns the global security network that harvests your data all over the place and funded vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance, was just caught on video saying that he was afraid of how hard it is getting to hide his money from tax laws. So, of course, he pushed for social movements that linked leftists, liberals, and any skeptics of capitalism to the Antichrist. He himself said what people like me have been alleging all along. Billionaires are using the rhetoric of religion to control the masses. Not because they are religious, but because they are afraid we'll figure out they stole all of the keys to the kingdom and we might want them back. This comes out in bot farming by suppressing content that is not popular to whomever controls the bots, not the people. One of the original reasons people wanted to ban TikTok was that there was so much pro-Gaza content on there that the bots actually couldn't handle it. So to fix this, they sold TikTok to an American billionaire, hired a Zionist, I believe a former member of the Israeli military, but that might be the guy who's with Facebook right now, to control content. And they're considering putting 19-year-old Barron Trump in some kind of leadership position. This means that all of the stuff you think you're seeing online that is real people, comes from real people, and is popular with real people, is probably not. Bot farms can add thousands of likes, shares, saves, or comments to a post. What we know now is that around 47% of all internet traffic in 2022 came from bots. Estimates of what has gone on more recently range from 40 to 60% of internet traffic. This means that you have almost certainly interacted with a bot if you've ever been in the comment section of anything or read the comment section of anything or even had something recommended for you. We're getting really close to the so-called dead internet theory that supposes someday humans won't be on the internet at all. It'll basically just be bots interacting with each other. And if that sounds bonkers, think about what you would have said 50 years ago if somebody told you that people would never use cable or telephones or cassette tapes and CDs again. The technology that we thought we could never live without always becomes obsolete eventually. The only difference here is that it's the humans who are going to become obsolete, and the technology will just move on without us, continuing to suck up our drinking water and electricity, causing electricity crises and water crises, which is probably why the billionaires are building 20-plus story underground survival bunkers, but that's a story for another time. And again, not even my tinfoil hat, you can just look it up, they've admitted it. If these things are so awful, why do bot farms work? For a few reasons. One is that most people don't know about them. They're not looking at the internet skeptically, so they just react, sometimes by clicking the react buttons. And that inadvertently engages with these click farmers and bot farmers, which means they're working, so they continue to be used. Take a look at the dumbest people you know online and see how many of them are following accounts that are clearly fake, particularly the ones who are following young women who are really just porn bots. Yeah. Another reason is that social media platforms reward engagement. So if a post has more engagement, it gets pushed out to more people, meaning that click farmers and bot farms are doing what they're supposed to do and giving the illusion of popularity. Because computer algorithms promote posts that are popular, these bot farms work, making their money, by selling likes and shares. This is one of the reasons I only have 13 followers on TikTok. I keep rejecting their pay to boost your posts offer because I don't want to fund the bot farms, and the algorithm punishes me by letting me languish in obscurity. So what can you do about this overwhelming techno-apocalypse? Be careful who you engage with online. Go through your settings and turn off the ads that show you curated content. Always reject cookies when you go to a new website. Understand that there are people and bots online that intend to do you harm, and approach all situations with a certain amount of skepticism. When you keep seeing the same news story over and over, reported in the same way, with the same language, that's meant to get a high emotional response out of you, be really curious about that and very cautious. Also, keep an eye on laws and policies that are trying to stop this and aggressively support them. Write to your member of Congress, you know, once the government isn't shut down anymore. Show up to town meetings and elections and demand that they take AI seriously. Denmark put a huge dent in AI by giving everyone the copyright to their own image. This means that AI can't use your face without your permission. We don't have these kind of laws. Demand that AI can't use people's writing or art or music without their permission. Too much of AI has been trained by stealing. It's an industry built on theft. Take a look at where the water to make this work comes from and the amount of electricity it uses. Yell at everyone you know who uses ChatGPT and feeds into this problem. We've still got one hand on the wheel here, but every day it is slipping off more and more. If we don't get a hold of this non-reality soon, it's going to suck us all up into its artificial, quote, intelligence. So keep fighting the good fight and tune into our next campfire on rage farming. This campfire edition of The Civic Flame is brought to you by Dr. Fun Sponge Media in association with creator Amber Veo and sound producer Matt Munyon. As always, thank you for listening.